How do you stay motivated?
Motivation is overrated.
Konstantinos Sinodinos, founder of Simply Digital.
Motivation is not something that can last. No matter how passionate you are about something, it cannot really last, because every single passionate path towards something needs very, very boring steps. No matter how passionate you are about the end goal, there is a very boring process through the way. Those boring steps need discipline, not motivation. They believe this kind of bullshit statement that you need to follow your passion and nothing else. This is bullshit, right? It's not realistic.
TikTok genius with over 2 million followers and a 20-year experience in marketing. TEDx speaker.
Focus on the things you can control, not the things you cannot control. I cannot control what is the path of AI, what's going to happen next. So I'm just focusing on using that for my benefit. And I see the people that are doing that becoming better faster. That's why I'm saying to people,
every single question you have about the wedding industry will be answered here. I'm Antonis Papadakis, and this is the Wed Podcast. Welcome. If you do like us, share some love and press the subscribe button. Let's start. So, thank you for being here, Konstantinos.
My pleasure.
Our first meeting was exactly 1 year before on the Greek Tube Festival. So, this photo was there. I ask you if it's a good idea to start making videos to promote my job. Also, your part was a true inspiration for me. So I would like to know some things. How did the founding of Simply Digital come up?
Well, Simply Digital, many people don't know the story, the backstory of Simply Digital. It was actually an accident in my business life. So it was a contingency plan, because I started after 10 years in the corporate world. I was an executive in big business in the marketing industry, and I was fed up with, you know, being an employee, following the 9-to-5 kind of reality. And I knew that, you know, at some point I wanted to do something. I wanted to go rogue and find an idea, explore the startup reality, start a business on my own. I had this entrepreneurial mindset since I was a kid. I had an idea about sports, because I was an athlete myself. So I thought to bridge together my two passions, business and sports. So I started a company named Champions ID. I did many things for a couple of years, but after a while, investment was not enough, so I had to find money. And I had two options back then. Either go back to my corporate job that I hated, or find something to make some money, entrepreneurial-wise. So I was with a friend in his house. He was already a digital entrepreneur, a freelancer, serial entrepreneur kind of way. So we brainstormed for the night along with a couple of wines. And I was like, okay, what can I do best? What do I know? What is my single skill that, you know, I can really build something on? And it was clear, it was marketing. I had a long-term career in marketing and brand building. I had done things that many people couldn't do the same. So I was like, okay, let me capitalize this experience and try to help small, medium businesses, freelancers, people who want to start a business like I did a couple of years ago. So I just used my experience so far to start an agency overnight, which was called Simply Digital. The name actually came from my Procter & Gamble experience, because we used the term Simply for anything that was really like Simply Pampers, Simply Duracell. So all the product lines that were the low tier, no fuzz, no crazy product characteristics, you know, just straight to the point, like I am. So I love the name, and I thought that, you know, that could be something that can really help Greek businesses grow, because at that point, 5-6 years ago, Greek businesses were really at a very, very early stage in terms of, you know, maturity, in the digital maturity. So that's how Simply Digital came up, like, you know, a way to make money. I made a couple of posts on LinkedIn. Some people saw it. Next day, I had my first couple of clients. So that was the first step, but I never planned to do that.
Just came up.
Yeah, just happened.
Okay, so how do you stay motivated to continue this route you start?
Motivation is overrated, to be honest. So motivation is not something that can last. No matter how passionate you are about something, it cannot really last, because every single passionate path towards something needs very, very boring steps in this process. So every process of anything you want to do. You want to become a professional athlete, a podcaster, a business person, you name it. Whatever it is, no matter how passionate you are about the end goal, there is a very boring process through the way, right? So those boring steps need discipline, not motivation. You need to be disciplined to do that because it's totally unrealistic to be motivated every single day, to wake up and do the same boring things every single day, especially today that people are really adrenaline junkies, right? People are looking for excitement, the next shining object, things that are really exciting. They believe this kind of bullshit statement that you need to follow your passion and nothing else. This is bullshit, right? It's not realistic. You need to be able to find something, yes, that is interested for you per se, but you need to be able to and prepared to follow a boring process to achieve that.
That so, everyday steps.
Yeah, so that's my approach in that.
In order to help our viewers understand you better, what is your job description? What are you doing everyday tasks in the Simply Digital?
So for me, I don't really believe that there are specific roles anymore in the workspace, especially in my workspace. So in the digital entrepreneurship kind of space, there are no specific roles. And I believe that people need to be, multitaskers and have and wear different caps and be able to do different things and have a wide range of skill sets in order to be valuable, especially now with AI that is taking over very specific tasks, right? So the people that are way more holistic and have a wide range of tasks, they have better chances to become successful. Now, what I do, I'm a digital entrepreneur. So I started building a brand around me. So Simply Digital became Konstantinos and Konstantinos became Simply Digital. I understood through the way that through video, I can really build a personal brand. And by building that and doing that an international personal brand, I can really build multiple businesses around it. I can do content, I can do sponsored brand deals, I can build an agency, I can start a paid community, I can do consulting, I can do speaking gigs, you name it. Launch products, digital courses, you name it. So there is a wide range of things that you can do if you build a personal brand. So that was my choice. I started with the agency because that was the easiest way, as I told you before, to make some pocket money and start, funding my first passion. But when I started creating content, I realized that I'm not just a content creator, I'm not just a marketeer, I'm a personal brand and I need to keep that as the first priority. So after this whole introduction, I'm not just a marketeer, I have an agency. So I do agency stuff, work every single day, I have a team. I'm trying to organize them. We're serving clients in the digital space. We're trying to help them grow. I do several branded deals with big companies in the digital space. So I promote them through my social media. I'm consulting businesses, startups, big businesses, people that want to start an idea, and many, many other things that are, as I told you, within the sphere of different things that we do.
So you work for two brands, for Simply Digital and Konstantinos.
Yeah, it's pretty much the same.
How you separate the jobs you have to do for these different directions? Because Simply Digital, it's specific the entrepreneurs, and Konstantinos Synodinos, how you brand your
business? There's no separation, to be honest, currently. So people know what I do because, and that's how the marketing funnel works, right? So they see me on social media, they get to know me in a festival or whatever, right? The awareness stage of the marketing funnel. And then genuinely, they want to learn what I do. They follow me. They go to my links. They see on my website what I do, what I can offer to them, what is my journey. So they understand a bit more about me, that I'm not just a creator. I'm way more than that. And that's how they reach out to me. Complete a form in my website. They contact my team. They do a discovery call and then they become my clients or whatever. So that's how it works, and there is no really separation between those two, right? And that's what the personal brand is all about, which has cons and pros, of course.
So about the videos, I guess it's a lot of work behind your videos. You plan them, that's right?
Not always.
I mean, you plan like 5 to 6 videos and you do the filming of all of them together?
It depends. It depends on the mood. It depends on the time that I have. Next week, for example, I will be traveling for 2 weeks. So I have to batch content. I have to create stuff. I need to film stuff and send it to my editors so they can prepare stuff while I'm away. But many times I choose to do something on the spot. Like, you know, I woke up, I have an idea or just read something. Like a couple of days ago, there was the news about TikTok about to get banned in US, right? So I had to do a video at that moment. I couldn't just, you know, create something that it was batched 2 weeks ago. And especially in my field, you cannot really batch ahead too long because things are happening too fast. Things are changing too fast. And if I make a video 2 weeks later about something happening today, it's old news, right? Yeah. And especially at the stage that I am, I need to be ahead. I need to be the first one to say something. So many times I just do things on the spot.
So I am going to read something that you said at one of your videos. AI is not going to steal your job. People that use AI are definitely going to steal your job. Give us an explain about this.
Yeah, that's a big discussion happening, especially, you know, in the people that are not very tech savvy. They're not very involved in technology. This comes in, you know, back into the human nature. We tend to fear whatever we don't know, right? It seems scary. And for some people that are into AI and realize what's happening, it might be scary as well, because we understand that we're at year zero right now. It's just the birth date of AI. So things are evolving very fast. We see different things happening. People from OpenAI are saying that, you know, we cannot really predict where this thing happening. Elon Musk is saying that we're very close to lose the control of AI. So yeah, this sounds scary. But as a person, as a human, as a creator, I always try to say to people, focus on the things you can control, not the things you cannot control. I cannot control what is the path of AI, what's going to happen next. I cannot, you cannot, right? So I want to focus on the things that I control. And the things that I can control is using the tools that I have available right now, even the free ones, and understanding how those things can help me do more, produce more content, be faster with my decisions, research faster and better, right? Get more knowledge that I would do before by opening 20 different websites to make a research myself. So I'm just focusing on using that for my benefit. And I see the people that are doing that becoming better faster. And that's why I'm saying to people, don't worry about losing your job. Try to be better with AI. Try to use it
as a tool.
Exactly. And you're going to be better than 90% of people staying scared in a corner, you know, being afraid of the future. So it doesn't work like that.
How you found the new tools?
Well, research. I follow, you know, specific websites and research places. I do my own research. I have a team that is doing research on Twitter, on LinkedIn. We just launched a new website called Best Free AI Websites, which it's a huge library of AI tools, and we're trying to aggregate every single day what's coming and what's new. So, and many people reach out to me with new tools, and that's how I get informed. Of course, I don't know every single one of them because there are millions out there. Every single day, more are coming. But at least, you know, I know the important players in the game.
In case you haven't done it already, please hit the subscribe button of our channel so that we keep growing. The more you help us grow, the more interesting professionals we will be able to host. So subscribe today. So let's go to the wedding industry. A lot of couples that we are changing emails and a lot of information that are coming to us. Can any of AI tools help the wedding professionals deal with this information that are coming to our brands?
So obviously every profession has different peculiarities and different, you know, processes and workflows, right? I'm not aware of the workflows of a wedding planner or of a wedding professional, whatever. What's the day-to-day, what they do, what they don't. But there are several sources that you can find answers, like there is a website called There is an AI for That. That's how it's called. And it's a search engine where you are entering a keyword like wedding, and you get all the tools that are relevant to this category. So you can find wedding planner AI tools there, obviously helping people like the ones that you mentioned. Or If I was a professional in any, and I was coaching somebody in any industry, I would tell them, okay, break down every single process that you have. What you do from the moment that you know you get a client until the delivery of the service, or before you get the client, from the moment that you advertise to the moment that you get a lead. What is every single step of the process, and where you can really automate things in this process with AI? And you can go to ChatGPT for this process and ask for an answer. Say, okay, I have this issue. What should I do? The easiest way to prompt properly for anything you want to do is say to ChatGPT or any other tool, act like a professional wedding planner who is familiar with AI tools and tell me this. Or act like a prompt engineer and give me a perfect prompt for, I don't know, finding the best wedding organization for this. So that's how you talk with the AI. Because prompting is, you know, the number one reason why you get a good outcome.
So about the emails, I remember that you are using a tool about the answering the emails.
There are several extensions that you can really, you know, it feeds data to it connects with your Gmail, for example, and it gets some data and it learns pretty much your most frequently questions and answers. It learns the tone of your voice and it can really write like you or suggest typical answers that you give, right? So it really saves you time because in many cases you answer the same thing to many people. So by typing one thing, you get the answer, the suggested answer, and you save tons of time by doing that.
How do you analyze the stats from each of your videos so that you can improve their overall online performance in the future? So you know how to continue making videos. I mean, if one video goes viral, how you analyze the stats so you can continue?
Yeah, actually, this is something that is very, very important. And I did that, if you remember, on the GreekTube Festival. I presented a part of that, so how I do it. And in my TikTok, when I started my TikTok and I reached my first million on TikTok, I tried to analyze all my viral videos in the key indicators and compare them with other creators of my size. So I was seeing, you know, what was the ratio of the duration with a viral video or the number of comments versus the views that you get. And now the platforms, especially YouTube, which is, you know, the king of analytics, gives you a huge variety of analytics to understand everything you want to take a decision upon. So your watch time, where you get your views, where you get your organic views, if they're suggested, or why YouTube recommended you. It even gives you content gaps right now. If you go to Content Studio from your mobile, there is a tab that's called Research, and it gives you content gaps. So I tried that the other day. I have my YouTube channel is not very big. It's like 50,000 subscribers. So I was looking for ideas. And if I went to research tab, I saw that there was a gap about digital products in 2024. I'm like, okay, let me make this video about that. I did a quite good video, like 20 minutes long. It got like 150K views in 2 weeks. It was by far my most successful video. And that was from a recommendation of YouTube itself. Like it told me,
I didn't know
hey, this. Do this video. It's going to perform well. And if you see the analytics, 90% of the views came from recommended videos from YouTube.
From YouTube, okay.
So YouTube told me, good, now I'm going to recommend you, right? And based on the performance of your videos, especially at the beginning, because, you know, the videos are getting pushed to a test audience, and based on the initial performance...
On the first minutes, you mean?
No.
When it's uploaded?
Yeah, when it's uploaded, it gets pushed in 100 people, right? Based on the performance in this group of people... YouTube will judge whether it's going to push it to more people and then more people. That's how the algorithm works in every single platform. So you need to be able to read those dynamics and those analytics. On YouTube, for example, when people drop, the retention, this is the most important factor. If you need to watch one single statistic in your videos is your retention. Because the more watch time, the more people you keep in the video until the end of the video, the more chances you have to have a viral video or a successful video. So you need to be able to optimize against retention. Your hooks, your gaps, the things that you see that, you know, your audience left, those are the moments that you need to work on and see how I can keep them more. What kind of mistakes I did that, you know, pushed people away.
And how you can improve them. You.
Exactly. So it's exactly like, you know, you get your health analytics and you decide to do something on your health. It's the same. People need to see analytics and act upon them.
Which AI tools you know about photos and videos, if you are using them, or you can suggest to our viewers?
Depends what you want to do with them.
About social media.
Okay, I use very much Runaway, for example. I use InVideo, which is a client of mine as well, which generates videos from a prompt. I use vid.io, which is great and gives you this function that I told you before. You upload a video and it auto-translates the video by adding, you know, mm-hmm. the text in a different language. Or submagic.io, it's great for auto-subtitling every single video, even in Greek, that there are not many programs that are doing that. I'm using also CapCut that has many new AI features that makes, you know, editing super easy, both on mobile and on laptop. Those are the main ones, and I don't believe that, you know, you should care about anything else right now.
And what about the Sora AI? That it's already launched?
It's not launched yet, so we haven't seen that. There is just, you know, the trailer that we saw, which was insane, right? It creates almost cinema quality movies with just a prompt. But I'm waiting to see the actual beta version to judge it. But I think it's going to be the most wild thing we have seen so far.
What are you working on right now? And what are some future plans you have? I think you are posting more to YouTube.
Yes, 2024 for me was a priority. YouTube was a priority for me because, you know, YouTube is the king. And I really need to build a solid presence there. And you really have the opportunity with long videos to do even greater things. You know that. You're trying to do the same. New ideas, improve your quality of production, be able to freely talk for more. Because, to be honest, you know, I used to be a teacher myself in marketing, etc. So when short videos got launched, I really struggled to push, you know, the content in 20, 30, 45 seconds. And now that, you know, we see that every single platform is pushing again long videos. I mean, TikTok even announced that, you know, guys, we are giving priority right now to videos that are above 1 minute or two or three. So you see that we're going back again, and that's for a reason. YouTube is the king, will remain the king, and the other platforms have realized that as well, because that's how they can monetize the video and attention. So I need to be in that place. I need to try to figure it out myself, and I'm trying to figure it out yet myself on YouTube. So yes, this is my number one priority. And the second one is we're building right now, as I told you, we just launched an AI website, which is called bestfreeaiwebsites.com. And the third one is a paid community. So I'm going to create a VIP community outside social media. It's going to be on a different platform where for a limited amount of people, I will be coaching them personally to achieve a specific goal. So I will be probably doing that around end of April. And it's a program that I want to build and bring people in that so they can really follow the path that I'm following through content to scale their businesses and make a living out of that without having to be a 9-to-5 or whatever.
The last guest question is right now. Every single guest leaves a question for the next one. So the question I have for you is, what is the budget a wedding vendor would need for a Google AdWords?
As I told you before the camera started shooting, this is a very generic question. I mean, we cannot give an answer on something that sounds like what kind of car should I buy? I mean, I don't know your budget. I don't know your needs. I don't know, you know, what you had before. So everything in marketing is you have a starting point and you have a net goal, right? And I need to know the starting point, where you're right now, where you want to go, and also what is the market you want to address. And after you tell me the market, I need to research and see what is meaningful. I mean, if you tell me that it's like 5 million people, my audience, based on that, I will tell you that, you know, the competition is bidding at this price. So I think that if we attack these keywords, we need at least 50 bucks per day to start with in order to find some meaningful conversions, have a good ROI, and then scale. Because that's what you do in performance marketing. You find the recipe that works, so you can put 1 euro and take 2 euros back at least, and then try to scale it. Put one and get three, or put 10 and get 30. That's how you do it. But you can never give a specific answer to a very generic question like that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry, previous guest.
So, no. It was very nice.
Another inspiring personal journey came to an end. Before you leave, don't forget to subscribe and follow us on our social media to stay updated on our episodes and news. Stay hungry for more.